We're going to read this morning from Acts chapter 12, the next passage in our studies in the book of Acts. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Jesus arrested about this time, a few years before. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." So he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It's his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter, motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guard and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. But they came to him with one accord, having made Blastus the king's personal aide their friend. They asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of God and not of man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. So reads God's word this morning. We're turning this morning to Acts and chapter 12, and we see that amazing event where Peter escapes from prison. In the early chapters of the book of Acts, the good news of Jesus had spread rapidly. But again and again, Christians faced opposition and hostility. And in chapter 12, King Herod was on the rampage, and specifically targeting Christians. For those who may be wondering which King Herod this chapter is referring to, it is King Herod Agrippa the First. He was the nephew of King Herod Antipas, who featured in the trial of Jesus, and he was the father of Herod Agrippa the Second, who later in the book of Acts had a conversation with the Apostle Paul. But why was Herod so hostile to Christians? Herod had had to work hard to be accepted by the Jewish people. His links with the Romans and the way in which he had cozied up to them meant that he was mistrusted by the Jews. And so here he was trying to exploit the rift between Jews and early Christians to improve his standing among the Jews. For since the Christians had begun to welcome Gentiles, the Jewish leaders looked on them with even less favour than they had done so previously. So what did Herod do? He had James, one of the original disciples of Jesus, put to death with a sword. And then he made his prize catch. He had Peter, in many ways the lead apostle, arrested and put in prison with a view to a public trial and execution after the feast of Passover. Extra precautions were made to make sure that no one would succeed in rescuing him and to prevent any escape attempt that Peter might make. Look at verse 4. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. And obviously some were on duty at different stages. He was placed under maximum security. Under normal conditions, a prisoner would simply be handcuffed to one prison officer. But Peter was chained to two officers, and another two stood guard outside the door. Humanly speaking, Peter had no chance to escape. But pitched against Herod's destructive power was God's saving power. And nothing is impossible where God is concerned. And if God wanted Peter to go free, Peter would go free. Having said that, we are faced with the fact that James was executed while Peter was miraculously released from prison. A mystery, isn't it? Why was James executed, but Peter walks free? And life is full of mysteries like that. I had a very dear friend called Robin. Robin was about to begin Bible college with a view to training for the Christian ministry. Robin was one of the loveliest people you could ever meet. Why was Robin killed in a car crash? Well, I survived a car crash, an incident that was a catalyst for me to go into the ministry. These are mysteries. And we simply have to bow to God's sovereignty and accept that he knows why. He is Lord. Is he your Lord? Are you trusting and following him as your Saviour and Lord? Coming back to Acts 12, and in verse 5, we find that with Peter in prison, the church was earnestly praying to God for him. It's a lovely statement, isn't it? Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. When these Christians were faced with opposition, when they were faced with a crisis, when they were faced with a situation that was beyond their control, they met together and they prayed. Indeed, they did that for all sorts of other reasons. As Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 tells us, they continued steadfastly in prayer. Notice too in verse 5 that they prayed constantly or earnestly. Another James, the brother of Jesus, in his letter later in the New Testament writes, "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." In this battle between Herod and the church, what different weapons they choose. Herod chose the sword. The church chose to pray. I wonder, have we begun to realise what a powerful weapon prayer is? It takes us to the throne of God in heaven. Isn't that a wonderful place to be able to freely go? It takes us to the seat of all authority and power in heaven and on earth. It takes us to the throne of grace. It takes us to the place of victory. I say this to myself as well as to you this morning. May God give us a heart to pray. I would love to see a battalion of prayer warriors. People who will take up the challenge to pray and to pray and to keep on praying. People who will pray through the good times and the difficult times. People who will pray when all is calm and who will pray in hostile and difficult times too. Because God is a God who hears and answers prayer. Scheduled prayer meetings seem difficult for many. But do come when you can. And even if you can't come every week, when opportunities arise to meet with others to pray, take them. And when that's not possible, still pray. Because prayer is a key element in our spiritual growth, in the life of a church, and in the work of God's kingdom. Then notice in Acts 12 what great answers these people saw to their prayers. Firstly, Peter slept. Peter slept. Do you think that was an answer to prayer? Well, the church was praying for him, so I want to suggest it was. And to support that, I would say, could you have slept if you had been in his position? As far as human reckoning was concerned, this was likely to be Peter's last night on earth. The following day he was likely to face execution. Would you have slept if that had been your lot? But Peter did. He slept soundly. And in addition, he was chained to two guards. That must have been incredibly difficult to have slept chained to two guards. But Peter did. Peter went to sleep and slept soundly. How come? I want to suggest he could sleep soundly because he was a man who was first of all forgiven. Peter had done some sad things in his life. He must so have regretted denying the Lord Jesus when he was on trial. He must have kicked himself for saying, "I don't know him." But he'd been forgiven. Again, here was someone who was confident in God's promises. "I am with you always. Never will I leave you or forsake you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to that place." He could sleep as a man forgiven, as a man confident in the promises of God, and as a man who is being upheld by his brothers and sisters in prayer. But even more amazing, perhaps, as an answer to prayer, God set Peter free. It was such an amazing experience for Peter that he could not think it was really happening. I love verse 9. "So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision." And then an angel struck him. He had to strike him to wake him up. And then his chains fell off. Now, chains are made of metal. And normally when chains fall, they make a clanking sound. But even though they fell off, they didn't wake these guards. And then he puts on his clothes. And he walks away from these two guards. And he walks past two more. Then, long before automatic doors were introduced, he walks up to an iron gate which opens of its own accord. It was as easy for Peter to walk out of prison as it is for you and me today to walk out of a supermarket. Then he walked down the street, at which point Peter came to himself and realized what was happening to him. And do you notice what happens in verse 11? He starts talking to himself. "And when Peter had come to himself, he said, 'Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people.'" What an amazing answer to the prayers of God's people. And let us remember that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a Lord who hears and answers prayer. In the early 20th century, a Christian by the name of Sadhu Sundar Singh had a similar experience in Tibet. He had been thrown into a well of execution on the orders of the chief lama for preaching the gospel. What a horrible death to be thrown into a well of execution, the lid locked, and you're just left there to die. And the lid was locked, and Sadhu was left there to die, as many before him had, as was evident by the skeletons all around him. Then on the third night, after he had spent time in prayer, he heard someone unlock the lid. Then a voice told him to take hold of the rope that was being lowered to him. And he looked at the rope, and at the bottom of the rope was a loop. It was perfect, because when he was thrown into the well, he had injured his right arm, and so he couldn't hold fully onto the rope. And so he placed one of his feet in the loop, and he held on to the rope with his left arm, and he was lifted to the surface. And then he turned to thank his rescuer, but there was nobody there. Sadhu returned to preaching, much to the annoyance of the chief lama, who wanted to know who had stolen the key and unlocked the lid. He said the well key must have been stolen, but no, it was where it was always kept, on his belt, around his waist. What a great answer to prayer. When God wants his prisoner freed, no one can stop him. And we've seen that this year in the release of Asia Bibi from prison in Pakistan. And let this remind us to regularly pray for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted and imprisoned for the gospel today. God is a God who hears and answers prayer. And you know, I have to teach myself that lesson again and again and again. In fact, I have to say to myself sometimes, David, why are you so thick? Why are you so slow to learn the power of prayer? And so in Acts 12, Peter walked free. And he's made his way to the place where a very late or an all-night prayer meeting was in progress. He had such a story to tell them. And so Peter knocked on the door, and a girl named Rhoda came to answer. No doubt in keeping with the custom of the day, Peter announced who he was. And Rhoda recognized his voice, and in her excitement raced back to tell everyone that Peter was at the door and quite forgot to let him in. Then what an anti-climax. The people didn't believe it was him standing at the door. They thought Rhoda was out of her mind. Wouldn't you have expected these people who'd been, in verse 5, constantly praying for Peter, and who was still praying for Peter when he knocked on the door, to have thought that God might have answered their prayers. And to have said things like, praise God! Or, what a great answer to prayer! Or even if they couldn't get to that height, to have said, let the poor chap in and put the kettle on. But they didn't. And even when Rhoda kept insisting Peter was at the door, all they could think of was that it was his angel. Many Jews and others believe that people have a personal guardian angel. And I suspect they thought that Peter might have died and the angel had appeared at the door. But in the meantime, Peter kept knocking, and eventually they opened the door and let him in. And to their astonishment, Peter really was there. Can you imagine the noise that resulted? The excitement in seeing Peter. The embarrassment in keeping him at the door. The apologies, the rebukes for not believing it was him, and above all their praise to the Lord. And the excitement was so intense that Peter had to motion for them to just shut up a bit, to keep quiet so that he could tell them what had really happened. And what a story he had to tell. And then after final few instructions, he left for another place. Didn't say where he went to, because obviously his life was in danger. But how gracious the Lord had been. Although for the majority at that meeting, Rhoda accepting, their faith had not matched their words. The Lord had still heard and answered their prayers for Peter, reminding us that he is able to do exceeding above all that we ever ask or think. Now, of course, it is better to pray believing and not doubting, as James tells us. But this passage and our final hymn inspire us to be people of prayer. And may we, by God's grace, see many answers to prayer. We have so many incentives in the scriptures to pray. We have illustrations like the one in front of us in Acts chapter 12 this morning. We have those promises that we have reminded ourselves of earlier, that God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Promises that remind us that he is sovereign. Promises that remind us that when we pray, we have access to the throne of God in heaven. We have so many incentives to pray. Let us be men and women of prayer. And then finally, in this chapter this morning, what a reversal we see in the final few verses. At the beginning of the chapter, Herod was free and Peter imprisoned and facing death. At the end of the chapter, it is Peter who is free and Herod dressed so magnificently, sitting on a throne, being acclaimed as God, but dead. Let us remember, it is God who is on the throne. Amen. We're going to sing as our closing hymn, 422, What a Friend.